I really appreciated the hospitality. Hoosier hospitality, really felt at home and greatly appreciate it. And it's good to be back home. I said, this is like coming home, because Dr. Ford Porter was pastor of my home church at First Baptist Church, Princeton, Indiana, when he wrote that little tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. He was also pastor there when the Northern Baptist Convention lawyers took them to court because they went into the GARB to try to keep them from keeping their property, and they branded them, if you'll excuse the terminology, bastard Baptists, because they stood up for the Word of God and against separation. So if you'll excuse me, if you think I'm a fighter, I kind of come from roots like that, you know. Yeah. And there are a couple of books. Dr. Waite's book is just fantastic, and we've already heard him give his best presentation. Every time he gives it, it gets a little better. But it is dynamite. Defending the King James Bible, a Fourfold Superiority Text Translator's Technique, Theology, and that is a very positive book in defense of the Word of God. It's excellent. It's just out. And I didn't bring my satchel. I was going to hold up the New Age Bible Versions, which is a new one. Someone else just held that up earlier this morning. Yes, could you bring that up here just a second? We'll get that on camera again. I appreciate that. An exhaustive documentation exposing the message. Men, thank you, brother. Men, manuscripts and moving mankind to the new, to the Antichrist one world religion. This book just released in 1993. The new case against the NIV, NESV, NKJV, NRSV, NAB, REB, RSV, CEV, TEV, GNB, Living Phillips, New Jerusalem, New Century, and I guess you ran out of room. It's available from Bible Believers Bookstore, 1252 East Aurora Road, Macedonia, Ohio, 44056. And you can come get your book so I won't forget it. I'll lay it right here for you. Thanks. Now, Dr. Waite asked me if I'd give my definition of my stand on the King James Bible. This is not the Burgon Society stand. The Dean Burgon Society stand, all of us hold 100%. But we're not, you know, puppets. We all have our own belief. And I hold up this King James Bible doctrine. And I believe it's an infallible body of truth.
Amen.
And it's all I really need.
Amen.
Amen. Now, and I don't want to take a thing away from all of... I appreciate the men that... I love to hear Dr. Waite say he's examined every word in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek and hadn't found a single mistake in translation. That just tickles me green. Amen. But now I'd like to talk to you for a little while. Well, first of all, I kind of kept a track of some of the verses used today. And I just love the verses that assure us that we have a Bible that that is preserved. Amen? Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, that's right here, from Genesis to Revelation, those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever.
Amen.
That we may do all the words of this law. Now, you can expound that, and everything's there, all you need. That one verse is all you need. And, of course, there are several other places. Turn over to Proverbs just a moment, if you would. Chapter 22, verses 20 and 21. I like this. Have not I written... unto thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. The certainty of the words of truth. My friend, there is certainty to every word of truth. We already heard today, Jesus said, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I have news for you, there's not a single word dropped in this book. And in fact, I won't get into the italicized words, but I don't even bat an eye when I get to them. Amen. The translators had to use them, you know, to bring across the full equivalency. Now, there are three areas that I'd like for us to look at this evening, dangerous trends in Bible defense, and one of them is from the liberal side. And by the way, we're in, you know, old Saddamite Hussein said that was the mother of all battles over when we fought over there. But you know, the mother of all battles started in the Garden of Eden. Yea, as God said. We're in a battle. This is the mother of all battles. Everything else is secondary to that. And when Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished the course and kept the faith, I tell you, it was centered around the ministry of the Word of God. Amen? Now, I run across a character. He is an Episcopal bishop named John Shelby Spong. He wrote two books. I heard of one of them, Rescuing the Bible from Fundamentalism. A bishop rethinks the meaning of Scripture. He's going to take our Bible away from us. Rescuing the Bible from Fundamentalism. He wrote a book like that. You think a guy was crazy to try. I mean, what in the world is a liberal that don't believe anything? How in the world is he going to take away our Bible? Well, I got to look at him. He wrote that in 1991. I saw he wrote another book before it in 1988 called Living in Sin, A Bishop Rethinks Human Sexuality. Usually people that get to messing with this book, they mess with it because they got sin in their lives. Huh? I like what somebody said. It's not the things I don't know in this book that bother me. It's the things I do know that bother me. Yeah, and there were some things that bothered Bishop Spong, and so he had to deal with this book. He said in this book, Living in Sin, I read both of them, he said, in a real sense, the debate in the church about issues of human sexuality, and boy, that's an issue today. If it ever was, it's an issue today. He said, the debate in the church about issues of human sexuality is a debate over the authority of Scripture and over the role of both Scripture and the church in sustaining the ignorance that is the basis of prejudice. Well, I don't agree with him. Now, of course, if he wants to admit to being ignorant and prejudiced, that's okay. I know he is, because he's going to reject the book. But he is right in the first part of what he says when he says that the debate in the church about issues of human sexuality is a debate over the authority of Scripture. That's true. And I tell you what, we're letting them win the battle without even getting in the contest. How many people? You know, we had two school kids. One little 8th grade girl wrote in, and I just hate to write. Editor of the paper, a little girl, and she wrote defending homosexuality. And it kind of bothered me, you know. But then a teenager, high schooler wrote. Well, I just couldn't stomach that. And so I wrote in, and I let him know, you know, that I wasn't opposing this young man for his courage in writing and whatnot. In fact, I commended him that he had more intelligence and courage than his instructors that had indoctrinated him. And I wanted him to know that I was going to hit the instructors. Well, they gave me a full page editorial headline on it. But you know, the thing that bothered me, there wasn't another letter in town. And that bothered me. I thought, well, maybe these other preachers just don't have anything to write. So I had a research paper on gay rights or sodomite sin, so I made up a few extra copies, and I went around to all of the churches, and I give them all a copy. I mean, I give them all one. I mean, everybody ought to know the truth. I mean, if the liberals are saying that the debate over the authority of Scripture is what we're dealing with, how about we all ought to be looking at it? And you know, there still wasn't any letters to the editor. You know, I wonder if anybody's alive out there. Isn't that right? Now, he says that the Bible has nothing more than the letter of literalism to offer to our understanding of human sexuality today, then I must say that I stand ready to reject the Bible in favor of something that is more human, more humane, more life-giving, and dare I say, more God-like. And he goes on to tell us who he thinks gives the authority of Scripture. He says, is the authority of Scripture in the person of the author or in the community that assigns authority to its sacred story? If the authority is in the community, then the right to change, revise, and render inoperative various parts of the Scripture must also be vested in the community. You know what he's saying? He's saying the mores of the community determine what is right and wrong, and the Bible don't have anything to do with it. And if all your neighbors believe in practicing sin, then it's not sin. The Bible is teaching prejudice. So you throw out the Bible, and you go along with what your neighbors want that they pick up on Hollywood. And I just wanted to read something to you. He says, but those, and listen carefully to this because he's a liberal, but those who are certain that the King James Bible is the only true version of God's Word, amen. Huh? Did you know liberals even know which Bible to condemn? Huh? They don't believe any Bible, but they know which one to condemn. Out of 130-some versions, this liberal that don't believe anything, he knows that you got to cut down the King James Bible. And he says, those who are certain that the King James Bible is the only true version of God's Word find their prejudice against homosexual persons affirmed by this blatant mistranslation. He says this is a blatant mistranslation. Teaches prejudice. Of course, he says you ought to bless gays and lesbian couples, and they're doing that which is right and positive good, and at times come not only to tolerate them, but to accept them and to celebrate and welcome their presence as gay and lesbian fellow human beings. And he says, of course, gay people should be considered without prejudice for the ordination process. They ought to be leaders in our church. We ought to just welcome them with open arms. And Paul's writing against homosexuality, well, he says that's ill-informed, culturally biased prejudices. And then, when he comes to rescuing the Bible from fundamentalism, he says, the liberalization of the Scripture is worse than no answer. It clothes God in ignorance, prejudice, and irrationality. If you believe the words for what they say, you make God ignorant, prejudiced, and irrational. So that's, you see what he thinks of our God. And of course he rejects the virgin birth and openly says so and ridicules it. He rejects mythology, the divine human son of a virgin woman. He rejects the propitiation. He calls it a ludicrous idea of to our century. He says the sacrificial concept that focuses on the saving blood of Jesus somehow washes me clean, so popular in evangelical and fundamental circles, is by and large repugnant to us today. You see, these people know what we believe. They just hate it.
Right.
And they hate everything about it. We worry about reaching these people with the gospel. They know the gospel. He writes the gospel plain and clear. He hates the gospel. He hates the Bible. He hates the God who revealed the Bible. You see, we have a misconcept about these people. We're reminded, you want to know, what does he believe? Well, he says, that all human beings are created in God's image, reflect God's holiness, men and women, homosexual persons, heterosexual persons, all races, nationalities, persons of all ethnic backgrounds, all communists, capitalists, rich, poor, old, young, religious, non-religious, Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists, agnostics, all persons reflect the holiness of God, for all are made in God's image. How can I enslave, segregate, denigrate, oppress, violate, or victimize one who bears the image of the Holy One? That is the Word of God I meet in the Bible. That is what I mean when I say I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. They'll even use our terminology and totally reject it. They'll even refer to our Bible and totally reject it. Well, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days." John 12:48. He's already judged. But you know, you get into our own circles, fundamentalists. And how much time do I have? I'm 8 minutes. Well, I can't get into... Leave my paper. Everybody get my paper on the back. I'm on page 3 and I've got 14 pages, so you're going to miss a lot. If for nothing else, I've got a brief summary of this whole book. And you'll want to read that, because this shows that the modern Bible versions are actually used of Satan to bring in the occult. It's exactly what they're doing. And this is documented proof. All of the modern versions are in the satanic plan to change the names of God, to bring them in line with Hinduism, to get Christians to use the same terminology. They're coming out with a standardized terminology for all religions, so that you think you'd be worshiping the Lord, and really you'd be worshiping the same Hindu God that they're trying to promote. But I wanted to mention, too, that fundamentalists who are denying the accuracy and authority of the King James Bible, the Baptist biblical heritage, standing for historical Baptist views of the Bible with emphasis on the KJV controversy, in its current issue, June 1993, has an attack entitled "Kudelik Replies to KJV Onlyite." Now that KJV only, everybody's branded. If you use this book for any reason of conviction, you're a KJV Onlyite. Now you can't avoid that. You are. They branded Dr. Hills that, and Dr. Hills a long way from a KJV Onlyite. His primary emphasis was on the Greek and the Hebrew text. But they branded him a KJV only act. You're all branded that. The only guy that's not branded that, that's standing behind the pulpit that uses the KJV only, is one who plays ignorant and stupid. I mean, he says, "Well, gee, I don't know nothing about this Bible. All I use is just the KJV from behind the pulpit. Oh, my youth man uses the NIV, and this one uses the Living Bible, and that one uses..." Well, what about you? Well, I guess this is the one I always grew up with, and that's all I use, you know. Well, what about, when you go to talk about sexual issues, he don't know nothing about it. And I'll tell you what I found out when you go to try to help one of those brothers, they're willfully ignorant. They don't want to know any more than that. Because, you see, that's the only way you can have a growing big church. You can say, "Well, the old people stay happy while I use the King James, and I turn my eyes and play stupid and dumb while people's using the NIV and the NASV," you see. Isn't that what's happening? It's happening all across America today. And we're reminded of something. Now, these people are attacking us openly, boldly. Attack Dr. Fuller. Attack Dr. Waite. Brand a bunch of them together, condemn all of them, and these are fundamentalist, so-called fundamentalist papers. I've got a number of quotes in here. You want to read through and look at this. Some of it will kind of bother you. It should bother. But I'd like to remind you of something Dr. David Otis Fuller said one time. He said, "You know, since I got in the battle for the Bible," he said, I've lost a lot of friends. But he said, you know, I've made a lot of friends. And the friends I've made are so much better than the friends I've lost. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I don't know of anyone who ever stated the battle better than that. Brother and sister, I come from Southern Indiana, we had a sister. But we're in a battle. We are in a battle whether you want to be in it or not. And it doesn't do any good to turn our eyes and, you know, and play dumb and say, well, you know, I talk to people and say, well, that's all over my head. I don't understand that. I let God say, well, now, you know, you're a scholar. You understand it. Scholar? Who in the world has to be a scholar to understand that this is the Word of God? Like Pete brought out, it's self-attesting. The Holy Spirit bears witness. I've preached every verse in this New Testament and most of the Old, and I've never run into a single verse that the Holy Spirit didn't bear witness with my spirit that this is the Word of God. You say, well, now, wait a minute. That's subjective. Oh, that's, you know, the liberals, they get all nervous when you talk that. Oh, that's subjective. What is it they try to say? What's one of the new philosophies they try to lay on you for that? That's subjectivism. Say, so, well, you know, that's funny. My family, all the way back, and all the Bibles they gave me, my church, all the people I knew, believers going back for about 400 years, all received the same witness. We share a common faith. That's why the book's still here. And we hold the same theological consensus. The Holy Spirit has borne witness with our spirit that this is the Word of God. Are you going to reject the testimony of believers in the churches for 400 years? Amen? We've got a battle on our hands, folks. And you know, we're on the winning side. Huh? And did you know what? When they come up with all these new versions and all these ideas, and they say, well, now, you know, you're not really being fair about this. You're not trying these things out. Did you know, if it works, don't fix it. Huh? It's been working for 400 years. Why in the world does somebody want to fix it? And, you know, they keep talking about things are going to get better, like we heard about Schaff when he got this new version, how things were going to get better in America. We saw how they all went downhill. Well, now, you start looking, and you find every one of them versions come out. I don't see where any of them ever improved anything in America. Right. Amen? Yeah. By their fruits you shall know them. And I tell you, you go around where this is the Word of God, where it's preached and where it's practiced, and you'll see the Spirit of God working in the lives of people. Amen? That's it. 1 minute. Well, I didn't even get into my paper. I'm just on page 3. I just got started good. But I would ask you to pick this paper up and read it, if you would. And also, those of you who are watching the tape, order the that'll be a booklet with all of the messages in it, and a lot of the documentation that we have put together will be available.